Right now it is time for the Berkshire Edge on air. TheBerkshireEdge.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They've got news, views, stories, letters, you name it. And we are joined every Wednesday by both David and Marcy, and we welcome them in again this morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Well, good morning. So you call this the Breakfast Club?
It is the Breakfast Club.
You're on a streak, yes. We've called it for the Breakfast Club for the last, 8 years.
Remember there was a Don McNeil who had a Breakfast Club.
Don McNeil, and also the Breakfast Club movie,
right.
And also there's a great hip hop block radio show called the Breakfast.
Well, I can remember the theme song. Good morning, Breakfast Clubbers. Da 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 da. Remember that?
He used to march around
the
table.
Or maybe not. Maybe you don't remember it, but
no.
I do.
No.
He used to ask.
We're older.
He used to have to march around the table when you sang the song.
Well.
Did
you march when you sang that song?
No, I didn't. I remember listening to it when I was having my tonsils out. I was in the hospital.
And you weren't allowed to march, huh?
No marching allowed. All right, well, let's get away from Don McNeil. And let's
get you get the tenor of the Berkshire Edge.
Yeah, that's right. All right, here we go. We'll start off right at the top. Vocational education is making a comeback at Monument Mountain.
This is a very interesting concept, at least to me. I don't know, David, do you want to continue?
Well, yeah, I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Marcy.
One of the things that I've observed living in the Berkshires is that everyone complains it's very hard to get people in the trades to do anything, you know, to find people who are available. Everybody is completely busy. There aren't enough people. There aren't enough construction people, electricians. You probably are experiencing it in Connecticut as well. And so the high school, Monument Mountain Regional High School, in collaboration with a couple of other organizations, one is Construct, which is concerned with housing, and the Railroad Street Youth Project, which is concerned with training kids, and also Greenagers, which has been concerned with getting kids involved in horticultural activities, have banded together to run courses at Monument Mountain, where kids, sophomores and juniors, will be placed in vocational training. I mean, they'll be working on the job as
interns. Yeah.
2 to 4 afternoons per week. On construction sites or working farms, they'll be earning class credit and stipends, and they'll be learning skills, so that if they don't want to go on to college, they will know how to do something. And you know, and this is fantastic. I think this is fantastic.
I have always said that I will put in the more city kids I meet, the more I say I will put my next door neighbors. 16-year-old son up against them anytime because he can do things.
That's right.
And
that's
the giving someone the ability to do something going forward in life makes a heck of a difference.
Well,
not everybody wants to go to college. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, as we say in the article, and this is written by Sheila Cleary, who is our education expert, who is extremely well-informed and very bright.
And her husband, I think, is a contractor.
Right. and she is very involved in education. But at any rate, you know, what's happened in high schools, according to Sheila, is that the heavy focus has been on sending kids to college. And if you're not interested in college, your education suffers. And this way, I mean, we have, you know, a large population of kids, not only in Berkshire County, but across the country, who really don't want to go into a, you know, continuing academic career, but who are interested in the trades. There's the joke about somebody who says, you know, I used to be a doctor, now I'm a plumber, and I make, you know, twice as much money as I made as a doctor.
You know,
but no one is training people to become plumbers and electricians and construction workers, all of which are very lucrative jobs. And I know, you know, I mean, we had some construction done recently. Our contractor can't find people to work with him.
Yeah, we in Connecticut, it's been a little different in Connecticut since I was in high school. That was back in 1971, back in the 60s and 70s. Everybody has a regional high school, okay? But also in Torrington, Connecticut, is Oliver Wolcott Technical School.
Right.
And you can choose to go there if you're one of the region one towns or if you're in Torrington. You can choose to go there. You get bused there by your busing company. And it's a complete trade high school where
right.
you get your regular high school courses, but a ton of work on all these different trades. And it's just always been a successful operation.
So, and I was just going to ask, is there nothing similar in the Berkshires?
No, well, there is up in North Adams, McCann Tech.
Right. But, and it's turning away 50% of its applicants because
right.
they don't have room for everybody who's interested.
So there is nothing in the southern part of the county, of Berkshire County, there's no technical school. So what Monument is doing, what the high school here is doing, is incorporating that whole kind of curriculum into its, you know, into its program. And it's really, I think it's a terrific idea. Very innovative, actually.
Absolutely.
Now, also, I mean, this weekend, you know, Railroad Street Youth Project is having its annual culinary dinner. I mean, it's the 20th.
For instance, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's the 20th year in which they're doing this. And this is a five-course meal put on by students. High school students under the guidance of professional local chefs. Actually, it's the 14th year, it's the 20th year that the organization has been in existence. And, you know, and many restaurants in the Berkshires have an alumnus of Railroad Street Youth Project in their kitchens. So this is one area that has sort of been covered, but there's so many others. So this is really terrific, and we're going to continue to track this because we think that this is very important for our local kids.
Now, in a story that I've been following at theberkshireedge.com, and even gave you credit and read a little bit of it on the air here on Robin Hood Radio, anti-Semitic incidents at Monument Valley Middle School, I think the community and the school acted very quickly in trying to set up a system to make sure that things like this don't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
that's true.
You know, we seem to be in a time when hating people is not only acceptable but even encouraged. We're certainly, you know, experiencing that here in the Berkshires. And so our latest thing is that we have a very interesting letter from Peter Dillon, who is the
superintendent,
with other letters to the editor that there's several articles along this line, but and the comments are very interesting. We had one reader who said, you know, that the offending kid. I mean, there was a kid who was making very anti-Semitic remarks, and so somebody said the offending kid should be expelled. And somebody else wrote back and said, having a difference of opinion does not require expelling the kid, you know, that he should be educated to understand, you know, the error of his ways. Those are really, I think, I mean, in a nutshell, those are the two positions.
If you're not,
I happen to agree with the latter myself.
I don't know if you're not educated by the time you're in, by your time in school, that far into school. Sometimes it'll take a slap in the face to get education a little bit better.
Well, maybe, but you know, this kid is just reflecting his parents.
I absolutely understand that. I mean, we're in a society now, and it goes in politics and everything, where aggression is the lead.
Outrage
and aggression is the lead. Whether it's whether it's a difference of opinion over a baseball game, over a law, over a car. It's absolutely amazing. And
social media has absolutely been a scourge just because it doesn't, you know, you say things, people say things under to their screen and therefore to others that you wouldn't necessarily say to a human being.
Right.
And the minute you encourage that, you know, it's like it's bad, and it's inefficient, and that would be the first place, you know. Education is key to this, but communication is really very much part of it.
So they have brought in all kinds of programs. You know, the Anti-Defamation League has been brought in, and they're especially effective. But, you know, it's funny. I heard a story on NPR the other day, which you probably heard also, about a teacher who had been, you know, very upset about a student who all of a sudden started spouting hate speech. And, you know, this is like 8 years ago, and he kept trying to educate the student. All of a sudden, it's this student, you know, several years later, who drove the car into the crowd in Charlottesville and killed a girl. I mean, that he had become a white supremacist, and he had been influenced completely by websites that he was reading. And although the teacher tried desperately to try to, you know, show him the error of his ways, he went on to be, you know, to continue to be ensconced in this, and ultimately killed somebody as a result. And the teacher, you know, was saying, you know, I don't know what to do. I didn't know what to do then, and I, you know, I wonder how you deal with this. I mean, there's so much stuff online now that encourages kids to toward wrong thinking.
Encourages everybody, and that's the whole thing. And and you're right. There's, but still, you know, when something happens in a middle school, I think. Quick action has to be taken. I think they took the right action here. I don't think they went overboard at all. I think they did the right thing here, and see if it works. See if it calms down the situation.
Right.
All right. Let's go to the situation that's not calmed down, and that is at the track. Once again, December 11th. A nice Christmas present for somebody. The town meeting on the topic of horse racing at the Great Barrington Fairgrounds.
Right.
Yes, the argument here is it's been proposed to reintroduce or restore horse racing, and this is at the Great Barrington Track, which hasn't been at the fairgrounds, which hasn't been what it's been almost 20 years since it was open for horse racing. But it's, the prospect of this has really roused up a lot of argument on both sides, actually. Some say, well, you know, this will bring visitors and tourists to town, and others saying it's a cruel sport to horses.
And it leads to gambling.
And it leads to gambling. Oh.
Right.
Goodness,
oh my word!
Not gambling.
Let me clutch my pearls
again. I'll tell you what. I'll take that one and throw it out because football leads to gambling. Baseball leads to gambling.
Oh, what about esports? Come on.
Drinking beer with Pong leads to gambling.
I mean, that's one segment of the objector. This is going to lead to off-track betting, and we don't want that here in the Berkshires.
Because we don't already have it.
No, we don't.
I mean, we don't have gambling in the Berkshires.
We don't have off-track betting.
Oh, okay.
We have gambling.
That's marijuana. That's what I was asking, right.
There's probably people laying odds on this town meeting, as a matter of fact. I don't mean to joke about it, because I think there are legitimate concerns on both sides, but call me the person who says that if the state's involved and there's money involved, and there's income involved.
Somehow, it will attract more income.
I'll give the people of Great Barrington a great deal of credit if they stop something that the state really wants. I mean, so, you know.
Well, the worst of it, from my point of view, is that the horses are not very well treated. I agree with those writers who have said, those people who have written into us and are concerned about the condition of the horses, because I happen to know that they are at least at this level of thoroughbred racing, they're not the top tier, and they are often raced under the influence, you know, with being drugged with something called butazolidin, which does not allow them to feel the pain in their joints, but and in their hooves. So that's the bad downside of this, for sure.
All right. Let's go to this is another big story. The bridges and contamination. We'll start with contamination first. Once again, cost a lot to remediate that one business.
Cleaners on Main Street, right across from the library.
And unfortunately, the town now owns the building because the previous owners didn't pay their taxes. Very smart move. And the town, you know, ended up owning the building. It was a dry cleaners, and they used to dump the chemicals right into the ground. Or I guess they dumped them in tanks, which dumped them into the ground because they leaked
into the ground.
And so it's a terrible problem. I mean, it's right in the middle of the town, in between Salisbury Bank and the post office, and a block away from the Housatonic River. So it's and it's left to the town to clean it up.
You know, they don't use the term clean up anymore. Remediate.
Right. Right. It's true.
I don't know how you remediate 50 years worth of that's the scary part about things that affect the environment. By the time you find out, it's already been in the ground. It always seems a long, long time.
For example, the Housatonic River was contaminated with polychlorinated biphenyls, you know, PCBs.
Thanks to GE.
Thanks to General Electric. Yeah. That has cost, many millions of dollars to clean up.
And barely, it's
not completed.
All right, let's go on to the work by Carolyn Neuberger, Eliminating the Hidden Forest.
Oh, yes. Well, we've talked about this before. I mean, she's really a treasure. And now we have chapter 22. But, you know, we've discussed this. Carolyn, who with her husband does all kinds of theater and dance reviews, also has, you know, relocated from Newton, Mass. to the Berkshires, to the forest of the Berkshires, and is going out with her little dog and observing the forest and drawing wonderful pictures. So this is a year-round visit into the forest to tell you what you could see if you also went into the forest. So it's really charming and fascinating.
Yeah, she's a good writer.
All right.
She's a very good writer and a very good artist, and ultimately, this will be a book, but she is,
Yeah, there are watercolors that she's doing. They're just wonderful.
Yeah.
She's a very, very talented woman.
Right.
All right. On to your final story. After Alan Sharto whacked a bee's nest last week.
He sure did. Right.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it has to do with
the bridges.
Well, we have now two bridges. I mean, we are a town that with the Housatonic River runs through the center of it, and at the moment there are two bridges across the Housatonic that are out because they need repairs. And, you know, these roads are the lifeline of the community. You can't get, I mean, there is a
yeah, I mean, there are two out of four.
Two out of four.
Right.
And there's, you know, there's one business, Taft Farms, which is right near one of the bridges, and they are saying that if this goes on very much longer, they're going to be out of business, and that would really be a loss for the community because they are a wonderful source of food and, you know, produce and plants, and it's a gathering place. They have a lunch spot. So, I mean, you can't get to them from one whole side of the town, because the bridge is out,
and it's going to be a long time,
and
it's not an easy fix. Although there is you could put a temporary bridge up,
right? And they're not doing that.
They're going to have
so,
to prepare it.
You know, and it's true. I mean, Alan Chartok, who is a columnist of ours, wrote a piece about why isn't this getting attended to faster, which was like whacking a bee's nest. I mean, he's... we've had lots of conversation, but I have to say something else. I mean, David has to leave now because he has to take his son to school. But let me just finish in the last few minutes. We have an astonishing collection of letters to the editor about all kinds of subjects this week. We really, you know, the citizen participation in the Edge is so exciting and encouraging. That's what we want to be. We want to be a place where people can discuss things. And so they are discussing all kinds of things. They're discussing anti-Semitism in the school. They're discussing whether or not the select board is effective. If your listeners are interested in sort of how a community deals with big issues, just go to our viewpoints section and see the variety of letters. I mean, it's so encouraging that there's so many people who care.
All right. Well, with that being said, theberkshireedge.com is the location to go.
Yes, it is. And check out our magazine, which is all over, you know, in high traffic areas. It's called berkshirescalendar.com. It's a guide to places to go and things to do in the Berkshires over these winter months.
And we'll speak to you guys next week.
Yes.
Take care.
Yes. Thank you. Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air on Robin Hood Radio.